Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. I have one of my good friends on today, a man who is the consummate gentleman, or southern gentleman. I have Judge Mark Rogers on. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Truman. Glad to be here again. I really like the repeat opportunity to be on your show.
Well, you're so much fun because you have so many interests, and it's just your personality. When I go over, say, like at the Kittrell Ham Breakfast that we were at last Saturday morning, everybody was gathered around you, and you were talking about all these great things that go on in Rutherford County and Cannon County, and you have deep roots, actually, in both places.
I do. You know, my father and mother raised 13 children in Reedville, Tennessee, which has got the best of both worlds on the county line, so mm-hmm. you can claim ownership of both, but I was educated at Kittrell, went to Kittrell High mm-hmm. School and graduated, and then MTSU. So I have deep roots in not only Cannon County, but Rutherford County as well.
I think once you're from that area, there's just something different. I guess everybody says that about the places they're raised.
You know, someone mentioned to me one time about how people are so passionate about their public schools. If you go to Siegel High School, for instance, mm-hmm. you think it's the greatest school in the county. Or if you go to Eagleville High School,
right.
it's the greatest school. I think that is the same with communities. Yeah. If you're from Las Casas, Walter Hill, Christiana, Smyrna, you always think those are the greatest places. And I think it's because of the people that you live with and grow up with and spend your time.
And, of course, you know, we can give a lot of the credit to the teachers of each one of those schools. And I think back of all the people that went through Kittrell at the time when it was a first through 12.
That's right. We didn't have K.
but I think back how many successful people came from that one small school. It's outstanding.
It's a credit to those teachers. My favorite teacher, and they were all wonderful, yeah. but I had Miss Hall in the fifth grade. I know you recall Miss Hall, Virginia
right.
Hall.
Yes.
She's passed since, mm-hmm. of course, a lot of folks have passed as you and I get older. And then Martha Holmes. I don't know if you ever remember
Miss Holmes.
Martha Holmes, her husband Henry, on the gas station there, or the little repair shop in Reedville, Henry Holmes.
I can give you another little bit of tidbit on Mr. Holmes. When my brother and I bought a farm together right there in Eagleville, I shouldn't have said that. I'm in trouble. In Reedville, he financed that for us.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, isn't that interesting?
You know, we were young and really didn't have much, and still don't. I still remember that he financed that for us, and in just a very small interest rate, whatever it was. And he was such a nice man.
Is the word stoic? He was tall and straight as an arrow, and a man of few words.
Yeah.
And as children growing up, we'd hang out at the river or Miss Burnett's up there on the curve in the little community, and we would go down. And I'm sure we were a nuisance to Mr. Holmes, but he never asked us to leave. He let us hang around his garage, almost unheard of today. And the great thing about his old garage, he had a box with a skeleton in it. And we would go and try to open the door up. And as soon as you open the door up, there's a skeleton, and everybody would run like crazy. I'm sure he had to be aggravated with us. You know, Miss Holmes was a Moon. I think her parents were Moons, and he was a Dr. Moon, and that's how they acquired that skeleton. I've always wondered where that skeleton ended up.
There's no telling.
No telling.
You know, of course, there's a lot of skeletons. I mean, it's my understanding that most families have skeletons in their closet.
Yeah, we ought to.
Yeah.
I think my wife...
Some just clatter a little bit louder than others.
My wife married me and had no idea how many skeletons in the closet, so...
The number one basketball player in the history of Mississippi.
As Dan Whittle likes to say, she scored 62 points in one game. But, of course, when Jean Ann's sitting there, she'll correct you real quick. It was 65.
That doesn't seem possible, does it?
Not in this. No, it doesn't.
We were talking about a basketball player before we came on the air, and she kind of reminds me of him because she's amazing. She can do anything, and she's so competitive. And do you ever compete with her on anything?
She likes to win.
Yeah.
She's a winner. So,
it's good to have her on your side.
We play cards with my daughters, and I've always avoided the card games until lately. And it is a throwdown when we play cards at home with my three daughters that get in. You know, more and more, as family time, once the children graduate, go on to college and their lives, you value those times quite often, more than you ever thought you would.
And you have one at Ole Miss now.
One at Ole Miss, my youngest. She's a freshman. In fact, was home over spring break and was talking. Ole Miss won the game of the Southeastern Conference Championship.
Yes.
We were able to watch that and excited. They have a fine young man playing basketball, too, for Ole Miss. I can't pronounce his last name. Henderson, that's it.
And Henderson's a hard name to pronounce.
He's got a different first name, too, but he's the leading scorer, I think, in the Southeastern Conference.
They've got a great team. And, of course, don't want to talk about basketball too much because we had kind of a little bit of a downer last night. Although the boys played well.
They
just ran up against a buzzsaw last night.
I kept thinking they were going to pull it out.
Yeah.
They had several runs there in the second half that almost got them there. But it sure is our coach Davis has just done a wonderful job with that program, as well as the girls program with Rick Insell. They're both in the tournament.
Right.
That's amazing for a school, Middle Tennessee State University, to be represented in that way in the athletic programs at the university.
I think in the future we're going to see a lot of that. We have great coaches, and it seems like kids now want to come here.
Right.
It's a special place to be, and I think it's just going to be a continuation of success for one right after the other. And, you know, I was thinking about you last night, and I don't know why, but you came to mind when I was watching that trial where the young lady had twins.
Right, over in Sumner County, I
think
it was.
And she was charged with first-degree murder. And I saw the emotions that went through it. And I know I have sat there a number of times and was either prosecuting someone or had some reason to be in court. And I've seen those type trials. It's very difficult to be a juror in those type situations because I heard that there was a little discussion back and forth between the jurors as far as the responsibilities. And I know the judge has a lot of responsibility as far as letting them know what they can and cannot do and what they need to look for. And I was torn on that one. I know a lot of people are really hardcore one way or the other, especially most of them as far as prosecution, because there was two young people that died. But sometimes I think a lot of that gets out of hand. And it's hard to sit there and watch it and watch the emotions and the anger that involves those.
I think at any time you see a trial involving a situation such as that, if it's a trial over money, it hurts, but it's money.
Yeah.
But when it's a trial involving people and their liberty and the loss of life of others, there are no winners.
Right.
No matter what happens in the trial, and it's difficult for the prosecuting attorney and their families and the citizens they represent. And then it's difficult for the individual who's got family members that support and love and yet understand that, I don't know if it's a proper term, but there is a judgment day and there's a reckoning that comes about. Fortunately, the citizens that serve on juries, and I know we talked to one of your fellows here who's got jury duty coming up next month.
On April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day, yes. Citizen jurors, citizen judges is what I refer to jury members are. They really are judges, and they're judges of the facts. And it's not an easy job.
No.
And we call upon people to serve. I'm sure those jurors had just as much difficulty in serving and rendering that decision as the judge did in maintaining the process of introduction of evidence and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. It's the best system in the world, but it's still a very difficult system.
You've seen a lot of court cases in your responsibilities. Have you ever had the feeling that I can always go back to the book and the movie To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yes.
And you could see the disappointment – in the judge when that verdict was rendered. Have you ever felt like that? And do you sometimes feel helpless? I know a judge seems, everybody thinks of them to being all powerful, but you have emotions like everybody else, and actually you have more inside information.
A lot of the matters that come before me are domestic relations involving children and families, and there is so much frustration in if you want to fix things, and unfortunately you can't fix things, and a judge's duty is to do justice. And sometimes justice can be very harsh, and yet oftentimes, Truman, there's just not a good answer. There's not a good solution. And so you do the best you can under the circumstances and hope it works out. I know that there's a lot of times after a trial has been completed that I think about what I did, that I could have made it better for everyone involved, the jurors, the witnesses, and the litigants. And the best thing I can say is just try to do the right thing. And if you do the right thing and follow the law, then you've done the best you can under those circumstances.
And you're having to go through a lot of evidence, and sometimes you probably feel like, and it's probably true, that a lot of the information that you're receiving may be biased or skewed or whatever word you want to use. But it's hard for you to make a decision because you're dealing directly with facts.
Right. You know, there's an old objection. A lot of lawyers will say, objection, prejudicial. Mm-hmm. Well, it's all prejudicial. Every sure. evidence, one way or the other, evidence is slanted one way or the other. What's really frustrating is when you don't feel like you have a real clear picture of everything going on. And that happens sometimes. You know, we have rules of evidence and rules of procedure, and oftentimes things that you would like to know are not brought up and provided to you, and so there's unanswered questions. And, you know, we do it differently in the United States. I think over in some European countries, they actually have a judge that does the investigation, goes out and does all the fact-finding, and then comes back and makes some kind of determination based on that. I think our system's better. I think we
I wouldn't want to have that kind of responsibility.
No, but it is a difficult task.
Now, we've got a lot of things going on in this state right now, and it seems like we're in a constant state of change. I mean, it's the legal system, it's the educational system. Everything seems to be happening at one time. It's like a snowball effect. At least it looks like that to me. Don't you think sometimes we're a whole lot better off to stand back and see how things are going and take the slower route to make sure that you're making the right decisions? Because you're affecting a lot of people when you're affecting the people in this Tennessee, because as everybody knows, the states are pretty powerful as far as the legislators
right.
and things like that. And they control a lot of things, our everyday lives, but basically, actually as much or more than Congress does.
I think we're impacted across the board by our judicial system, our legislative system, and our executive system. And what we have done in our country is hopefully the all three balance each other out, and that checks and balances on both ends to make the system produce what it can to allow us all to live good quality lives, safe and disciplined, and also give everyone the opportunities. I think that's the guiding light for America. We want everyone to have equal opportunities.
Oh, definitely so. And one of the things I was thinking about, and I don't want you to comment too much because, but it is going to affect the circuit judges, it's going to affect the district attorney, the public defender. It seems like everyone is caught up a little bit, and it'll affect the courts, the circuit court clerk, and people like that. Cannon County is the only county outside of Rutherford in this circuit, and it's been that way longer than I can remember.
Right.
It goes way beyond me. And it seems like Cannon County and Rutherford County have always had a partnership and like a family. They really have. I have noticed that working in that business for a long time. and there was a certain amount of respect and responsibility that they all joined together on. And what I've been reading is that Cannon County would not be with Rutherford anymore in the circuit, and they would be joined with three other counties, which is, to me, is almost like a nightmare as far as trying to keep up with it with all four counties. In Rutherford County, it would just be Rutherford County. And I remember someone stating that, you know, financially it would be a better situation for all concerned. I can't see that. I was trying to think it in my own mind of all the things that are covered under that separation, and logistically, I cannot understand why it would be a cheaper situation.
Right now, the 16th Judicial District is composed of Rutherford County and Cannon County,
right,
and that has been in effect for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I think you're correct about the association between the two counties. You know, most folks in Cannon County worked in Rutherford County for a long time. That old Highway 70, remember when we were growing up?
Oh, yeah.
If you needed a ride, all you had to do is stick your thumb out, because you could find someone to give you a ride back and forth between.
And move them all the way to their granddaddy.
That's right. The two counties have been very closely aligned economically. Mm-hmm. Lots of folks from Cannon County come to Rutherford County to purchase their groceries and their shopping and things of that nature. So it's a real economic corridor. Mm-hmm. And the proposal is to have Cannon County merge in as a judicial district with Warren County, Coffee County, and Van Buren County. I'm so delighted to have my roots in both counties and to have the association with the citizens in both and represent all of the citizens of that district, the Cannon and Rutherford. But change comes, and we will certainly move forward and prosper. And I think Rutherford County is going to do extremely well as a standalone county of its own, for in terms of the judicial district, and Cannon County will continue in its strides forward. There's good judges in every district and people in every district, so the merger will work. It just may make it more difficult. I think some of the local lawyers that have practiced law in Cannon County to some extent may be affected, because judicial districts tend to have their own nature. People mm-hmm. people tend to know in the practice what judges handle that district, what days and calendars and things of that nature. So that may have some economic impact upon the members of the bar, but the citizens will receive the same quality and level of judicial efforts that they've come to expect with the judges of the 16th Judicial District, and all will be well. It's just a part of going forward, I think.
It's awful. You lose that familiarity with the people that you deal with. I mean, the circuit judges that would go over to Cannon County, they would be more familiar with the clerks. Even the people that come through that you're having to judge, you know them, you know their families. And one thing I remember, when David Puckett retired, they gave him a going-away party.
Sure did.
In Cannon County, in Woodbury. And he called me. And we stopped by one of the restaurants and ate before we went over there. And a lady came in, and she had been hunting all over for David. And she brought him a big present. And he had worked on some of the cases for this young lady. And she wanted to tell him how much that he had meant to her for all the things that he had done. And I can think back to all of the attorneys and the people that had a lot of influence over in Cannon County over the years. And I think we're going to see a little break in that. That's something that we've never had before. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk about that a little bit more with Judge Mark Rogers.
You can fake just about anything, but you can't fake car insurance. Got a speeding ticket? That's cheap compared to what it cost without car insurance. If you need affordable state minimum coverage, call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO for the real thing. Drive safe, spend less, Safe Auto.
Murfreesboro Outdoors has the boots and clothes to make your next outdoor adventure more adventurous.
For hunting season, tell us what you have.
Well, we've got the shotguns, rifles, handguns.
And these days, people look to handguns for protection and security.
We've got semi-automatics or revolvers or concealed guns or bigger guns.
So come on over here and say howdy to Randy Boland right here at the Murfreesboro Outdoors.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Broad Street next to International Paper.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Jim Williams. A verdict came down and sentence was pronounced right away Tuesday in Gallatin in the murders of two tiny babies.
Lindsay Lowe will spend the rest of her life in prison for killing her newborn twins. A jury convicted her of murder Tuesday after 2 hours of deliberation. Prosecutors say Lowe hid her pregnancy, then smothered the babies after she gave birth in her bathroom in September 2011.
TRN's Dan Item. They're getting together, he's getting out. Shelby County School Superintendent John Aitken has negotiated a contract buyout as the county and Memphis City schools unify. The countywide school board approved the buyout Tuesday. It's effective immediately. The deal pays Aitken the equivalent of 6 months' salary, more than $300,000. He also becomes an advisor to the unified school system through the end of May. Addressing an issue that's not an issue, state lawmakers are about to take up a bill looking to restrict police agencies in the state from using unmanned drone aircraft. The sponsor is Representative Micah Van Hus of Jonesboro. The bill's due to be heard in the House Civil Justice Subcommittee today, and Van Hus says he operated surveillance drones while serving in the Marines. He says he doesn't want the technology to target Americans. Earlier this month in Washington, the Attorney General ruled the government doesn't have any right to do that.
This is Bob, the dairy farm manager, back to talk more about Black Cow composted cow manure. At the Black Cow factory, they consider my cows employees because they work day and night making the raw material. It's excellent for flower beds, lawn, shrubs, and vegetable gardens, too. Now, I work at a dairy farm, but I get my Black Cow composted cow manure at the garden center. Look for the bright yellow and black bag that says Black Cow. The employees stand behind it 100%.
The mature manure, Black Cow.
I told my best friend.
I told my students. They needed to know.
Who will you tell about the emerald ash borer beetle and how it is killing Tennessee's trees?
I'll tell my kids that it lives in firewood.
I'll tell my friends that moving firewood moves the beetle.
Spread the word, not the beetle. Promise to not move firewood and to burn it where you buy it.
I'm going to tell my whole scout troop about the emerald ash borer beetle.
Learn more at stopthebeetle.info.
Brought to you by the USDA, the Nature Conservancy, and the Tennessee Division of Forestry.
So, how healthy are things around your county?
A new report from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation ranks the relative health of people living in Tennessee's counties. The report lists Williamson County as the healthiest among the state's 95 counties. At the opposite end of the rankings is Grundy County.
TRN's Andrew Warren. DVA is conducting its annual sport fishing survey. By the 9th of May, the utility will examine the health and abundance of species like black bass and crappie in nine DVA reservoirs. In sports, it was college basketball last night. Men's Style and St. Mary's got a good start on its second straight NCAA tournament appearance. They beat Middle Tennessee State's Blue Raiders 67-54 in the first four. Now the Gaels get a quick trip from Dayton, Ohio to Auburn Hills, Michigan. That's where they'll play the sixth-seed Memphis Tigers on Thursday. Jim Williams, TRN News.
We're at the Garden Patch Thrift Store on Spring Street across from the tall NHC building, talking with Christy Sanford.
Instead of it just being rows and rows of just shirts and pants, we try to make it more in sections, so we'll have like a housewares section, and we try to set up more display areas.
Donations to the Garden Patch Thrift Store and proceeds from sales help fund Greenhouse Ministries, a faith-based nonprofit helping underserved in our community.
We are located at 309 South Spring Street.
Across from the tall NHC building.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing, and our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
With million-dollar lawsuits and drastic increases in court costs, are you adequately insured? We can remove the fear of an unforeseen lawsuit with an umbrella liability policy from Auto Owners Insurance. We'll recommend personal and business protection that meets today's needs. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064. Ask us about no problem protection through Auto Owners.
You can depend on Claiborne & Taylor.
WeatherEye.
Partly sunny skies for today, a high in the mid-50s, while the northwest wind a little blustery. Cloud cover early tonight, then clearing, low of 23. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Faluber.
Right now, 45.
Alicia Vaught is our WGNS Good Neighbor of the Day, always working hard, and her dedication inspires others. Today, she receives flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. And today's WGNS birthday cake winner is Kim Sanders. Happy birthday, and enjoy that birthday cake from Junior's Foodland.
Murfreesboro Outdoors has the boots and clothes to make your next outdoor adventure more adventurous. Murfreesboro Outdoors has men, women, and children's clothing to make your camping more enjoyable.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Broad Street next to International Paper.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with us. And I know we've been talking about the changes in the circuit, but actually the courts are always in a constant change of some type. You look at how things are going in the community and the changes and what you can do to make things better. I mean, you and I were talking off the air about drug court, and of course, Judge Don Ash was very responsible with drug court and made it very successful. And I know you're always looking into things that are trying to make things better. What are we doing right now? Is there anything that's really coming to the forefront?
Yes, Truman, and let me say this: you were right about Judge Ash. He was instrumental in the drug court program that's been such a success for families and members have encountered problems in that area, to give them an opportunity to redeem their lives and move forward with productive lives for their children and their families. And Judge David Bragg has taken on that role since and doing an excellent job Ash took senior status. Mm-hmm. I was at our judicial conference last week, and there was a meeting held late one afternoon that I attended with our Chief Justice and several judges from surrounding areas on veterans courts. And I think you're going to see coming forward in the next few years more and more emphasis on on veterans courts, where we have so many members of our military have served honorably and yet have come home with issues that have been service connected, mm-hmm. That lead to involvement with the law, but not on the right side of the law.
Right.
And I think you're going to see an outpouring of support from the judicial system to try to identify those individuals, people that have served our country and served honorably and have contributed to the lives that we now live and the values that we hold, and give an extra layer of when they're involved in the legal system. Sometimes you drown in the legal system.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that would agree that it can somewhat be overwhelming, and more we see individuals try to go through the maze of the legal system by themselves without a lawyer, without assistance of a lawyer, due to financial cost. And I think the court system is going to step up and address that, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that, especially with our local veterans hospital here in our community. We're ripe for that kind of program, and I anticipate you'll see a veterans court come into play over the next few years where there'll be an added emphasis to help veterans who are suffering.
I think that's a great idea, because people don't understand that when you go from here over stateside and you go into a war zone and you become involved in that, where you're fighting people in a totally different environment, it changes you. And when you come back to stateside and you become involved in the community again, it's hard to adjust to that sometime. And I've seen so much of that. And people do need help. a lot of times when they come back. And I've seen a change in the attitudes of people. Actually, it's been quite inspirational to me to see that, because I remember back in the 60s, of course, when the Vietnam War was going on, how the attitude had turned against our veterans and our GIs during that particular time. But there's a resurgence of patriotism and people looking at the GIs as they're still our heroes, whether they're happy about the decisions made in politics or not. Our guys are still over there putting their lives on the line for a purpose, and the purpose is still they're there for us. And sometimes we ignore that. And there's so many organizations and people now in our community that are out there fighting for them. And I'm glad to see that you and the judges have taken that attitude.
That was so well put, Truman. My brother Gail served in the Vietnam War, 67, 68. In that time era, and you know, he came home, and we were so glad to have him home, but it was no fanfare, no hero worship. It was just he was home, and he had lots and lots of difficulties, and has since passed and no longer with my family, but I see what that need is there. The need is certainly there, and I wish he had had those opportunities to address some of those issues that I think what you just said, that we've got a new consciousness about it, a new level. I'm hoping that we'll see Vietnam-era veterans mentor some of the individuals that are now coming back from the Iraq and Afghanistan and those wars and conflicts we've been engaged in, and provide some guidance and leadership. They have so much to offer, that Vietnam-era generation of veterans, to those individuals that are now coming home facing the same things, but maybe in a different light nowadays, that we've got more awareness of what you just said. You may not agree on the policy, but you certainly agree on the veterans and how important they are to all of us.
Yeah, when you get this program started, are you going to be working directly with the military when you're doing this? Because I know that they have set up programs in their hospitals that they're taking care of the veterans, the ones that are currently working in the service, and those who have retired. But they're working with those now to try to change their lives. And actually, some of them are going back into the field because they're able to change them in certain ways.
We're in the initial stages. That's what this organizational meeting with the judicial, during the judiciary meetings last week, was about. And as I understand and see how they envision this, it will start out with our local judicial system and the General Sessions courts and then the circuit courts, of trying to identify those individuals who have served our country and yet have found themselves at odds in the law, and maybe can get some involvement from the Veterans Administration Hospitals facility, and more importantly from the different veterans groups that are active in our community, and all together as a team approach, give opportunities that otherwise wouldn't be there. I think it's got great promise. It's in the development stage, but and things of this nature somewhat take time to work out kinks, but I think it's got great promise to the veterans program.
You know, one thing I've always been impressed with you on is that, you know, when the laws were set up, you know, we go back to old English laws, mostly here. And, of course, they've been changed over the years many, many times as attitudes change. But the laws were set up to protect the people and be for the people. That's what they were. It was kind of a common sense type way of legislating. And then it seems like in the last maybe 10 years, 15, maybe even go back farther than that, we want to blame and we want to punish people now. We become so aggressive when something goes wrong. We automatically start pointing fingers, haven't heard any of the evidence, don't know what's really going on. But, and we're alluding to that earlier, but you really got two things that are involved in your job. And one is the penal part, as far as punishing the person for whatever acts that they've done that are wrong. But you've also got the heart part and the judgment part, is what is really best for everything that's going on here. And I sat in a courtroom one time where it was a murder case where young boys were involved in it, and an older couple. And I knew most of them that were in it. And then you got young people just starting out in their lives, and two older people that are getting close to the end of their lives. And of course, the older couple were killed. And I've never been in a courtroom like that before in my life, where there was relationships between both sides, and they all sat together. And it's got to be hard on somebody like you to sit there and make those decisions. And you're going to make them the right way. But it's you take everything in consideration. It's tough.
You know, Truman, you identified what we all sometimes do not see, and that is we have a fear of random acts of criminal violence being affected against us, someone robbing us, someone assaulting us. Mm-hmm. Most criminal acts are involved people that know each other, that are any other day are good friends, know each other, at least know the community and family in which they live. And you see a lot of that, which then doubles the difficulty in handling that through the criminal justice system. You and I and so many others are so blessed. We're so active in our education and church and in our work lives that we live lives of immense satisfaction.
Right.
And yet there are a lot of folks in our society that in the field of education, they've not had the opportunities or not as been successful, or they don't attend church. They don't have a regular base of religion that it gives you such strength as an individual, and they don't have employment opportunities. It is a across-the-board difficulty in helping identify, number one, what the problem is, and number two, offering viable solutions to it. But I think it's just what you brought up about our system. We are evolving, and as long as we're continuing to try to do better, I think it that's the best we can hope for, and I think we ought to all do that every day. Get up every morning and thank our God for allowing us to be out and about, and then try to make the world a little bit better.
Is it hard to put on that robe and take off that robe because you change each time?
Well, if you're married to my wife, it's not too hard when you get home. I can't order her to go get me a cup of coffee. Let's put it that way. Let's put it that way. Dan Whittle would understand that one. But you know, as my siblings laugh at me and talk sometimes, I put on my lawyer voice. And so when I'm dealing with my family, they'll call sometimes and ask me for some advice about this or that, and they tell me, don't put that lawyer voice on. And I think that's true of judges. You're caught up in this judicial system where matters are presented to you for determination, and when you step away from that, it is a different role that you have. And for instance, with my own children, they know me as dad, daddy, not as the judge up there that makes decisions that affects people's lives. And that's why it is such an awesome responsibility and a role that should be safeguarded and treasured. I'm really proud to be a member of our judiciary, and I've enjoyed serving the citizens of Rutherford and Canning County. I don't know of any better honor I could have.
You'd be a great role model.
Well, that's kind of you to say that, Truman.
Now, one of your daughters has sat in court before.
Three of my daughters have been all over the place.
What do they think when they see Daddy up there? Is it hard for them to?
Well,
is it kind of like what's that one? It had Reese Witherspoon in it.
Legally blonde. Yeah. Well, I have to give a shout out to the security at the judicial building. I told Ashley when I left this morning. You know Ashley well. I said, Ashley, I'm gonna say something about you on the Truman Show. My three daughters came up a few years ago when I first became a judge, and we have security systems there. And one of those is a way you can signal security, please come right now to the courtroom.
Right.
It's a button system. I won't go any further and say that. You know exactly where it is. But I was not in the courtroom. My three girls were in there, and one of them was the prosecuting attorney, one of them was the judge, and the other one, I think, was the witness, and they were just having a hoo-ha big time. And I heard one of them say, what's this button? And I jumped up out of my office to run in there and say no, but I was too late. The buzzer had been rung, and all of the officers came in that courtroom with guns drawn.
Oh,
my girls will never do that again.
I'll bet they were. So they weren't aware of the pitfalls.
No, they had no idea that Dad's job entailed issues of that nature.
Well, we're going to take a quick break because this part of Judge Mark Rogers' show is brought to you by At Home Care. And when you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means At Home Care is hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That's telephone number 713-4639.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Roll-on color with quality paint applicators from Haynes Chevrolet Hardware. This is Rich Schmidt with more savings from Haynes Chevrolet Hardware. Right now, a 3-pack of Master Painter roller covers is just $4.99 while supplies last. They have a 3/8-inch nap and work best on semi-smooth surfaces, including walls, ceilings, acoustical tile, wood, and drywall. These durable rollers are flexible enough to use with all paints and stains. It's just $4.99 while supplies last. So get yours today at Haynes Chevrolet Hardware. Haynes Street Value Hardware on Memorial behind Resane Drugstore.
Parents, move in nice and close to your speakers because I know that you'll likely be the one buying that corsage for prom night or perhaps the roses or bouquet. Let me give you a tip of where you can save money and get a beautiful arrangement. Call Ryan's Flower Shop in Murfreesboro at 893-7134. They have a special prom section at ryansflowersandgifts.com. The keyword search is prom. By the way, that's Ryan spelled R-I-O-N. They also have prom art. Like Ryan's Flowers on Facebook and see the new designs. Ryan's Flowers, a prom tradition since 1937.
Registration for the second annual Special Kids Race presented by MMC is now open. With a sold-out first-year event, mark your calendar for Saturday, March 23rd, 2013, and choose from one of three distances, the 1-mile fun run, the 5K, or the 15K. Registration is limited to 3,000 participants, so don't miss out on one of Murfreesboro's biggest races. With your help, Special Kids can reach even more children with special needs. Register today at specialkidsrace.org and run for the kids.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Judge Mark Rogers. And the last part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes is a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. You know, we were talking before we went on the air, Mark, and we were talking about one of your daughters, and you guys were skiing, and you had an accident.
Well,
and that doesn't seem to be anything unusual for anybody when they go snow skiing.
You know, we don't go often, but my family has been fortunate enough over the last several years to pursue activities such as snow skiing, things like that. And this year at Christmas, right before the holidays, at the time you can go a little cheaper than others, you have to worry about whether there's going to be snow. But my wife and our three daughters, all our entire family went with a couple other families skiing in Colorado. And as always, it's always this way, Truman. We skied for 3 days, and on the last day, on the last run, my middle daughter, Ann Catherine, was skiing through a little area called a terrain park and went over a little jump, just a real small jump, and yet landed on her back and broke her back at the level of T12. It absolutely
I think my life stopped. I couldn't talk. And for everyone that knows me, that's hard to believe. But they took her down on the folks, ski patrol came, put her on a board, brought her down off the mountain, took her to a hospital, a little walk-in clinic in Telluride. It's a real small little area. And diagnosed the problem as a T12 fracture, and they transported her. Jean Ann, bless her heart, had to get in the ambulance, and they went for a 2.5-hour ride to Grand Junction, Colorado, where she was hospitalized. Up until Christmas Eve day, we flew home on Christmas Eve day. The girls came home the next day, but Jean Ann and I stayed with her, and we're going to have surgery, major complicated surgery, but God blessed our family, and I've never prayed as much in my life, but I prayed, and anyway, a lot of other people, you know, the prayer circle people do. Wow, it's just tremendous. But she's doing great. And George Lynn, Dr. Lynn here, my good friend and a great neurosurgeon, has treated her in a follow-up care. And we were there about a week ago and gave her a good bill of health. And she's out of a brace. She didn't have to have the surgery. She wore a brace for 3 months. Just a miracle what medicine and the body can withstand and do. You know that from being in law enforcement.
Yes.
But she's getting better each and every day and stronger and out of the brace. Still wears it some, but getting back to regular activities. And she was going to school in Washington State at Olympia, Washington. And so they're on the quarter system. And so she's going back on April 1st. So
why did she select Washington?
I think that's
I don't understand this.
That's from my wife's side of the family.
No, Ole Miss is there. Your wife's there. That's Jean Ann.
I have my youngest child is at Ole Miss. She's in her first year of college. I appreciate you asking, but my girls, my middle daughter, Ann Catherine, is in her junior year at in Evergreen State University. In Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. Mm-hmm. She's got a specific program she's involved in. And then my oldest daughter, Jan Margaret, she graduated from Vanderbilt and is in her third year law school at the University of Georgia.
Wow.
And graduates in May. So they're all doing well.
Is she going to follow Dad's footsteps?
I think she may end up in the Foreign Service. She's got a traveling heart. She has served for a year in Nicaragua. She went to Dubai and spent pretty much a summer in Dubai. She's my travel girl, and she worries
you to death.
Yes, you're exactly right. In fact, Truman, she was home this last weekend for spring break, and at Easter, she's going with another young lady to Guatemala. And my wife and I have a hard time with that. I think everyone out there who's a parent can understand, but at a certain age, they do what they will.
It makes you wonder what they're thinking. I'm sure that they're thinking about all the great things that they can accomplish and all that, but people like us, we see the pitfalls that are over there in those different countries.
I think being in law enforcement, being in the judiciary, like you and I have, we see so many things that can go wrong that America looks pretty darn good just staying right here at home. And there's a lot of places to travel and see in the United States. Once you leave the shores of the United States, there's a lot of things that we just take for granted that don't exist in other parts of our world.
I think, you know, we've been around, you and I, those of us who got a little gray in our hair or a lot of gray.
I think a lot in our cases.
We have seen things that you don't expect to see when you leave this area. I've always said that there's just something about this place right here that's different than any others. We don't have the problems that a lot of other places have. We've got that friendliness that we welcome people in. No strings attached. Come on in. You're part of the family. But of course, we have deep roots here in this area too, and that means a lot of it.
Our Southern heritage is such a basic part of the way we live, and I have many friends that have moved here from Michigan, Wisconsin, and places like that. And not only do they love the weather in Middle Tennessee, but they also like the way that we treat each other and the way people really deeply care for each other. I think you're exactly right.
And they're not going to listen to Mama and Daddy, because they want to go out and spread their own wings and see what life is like outside this area. And some of them, they take to it.
That's right.
But an awful lot of them come right back here.
Well, and the reality is after a while, I think once you once you get away from your home roots to some extent, you realize how great they really were. And I think you're right. They come back home and become good, productive citizens. That's what I'm hoping for my girls, but I support them and love them, whatever they do.
Well, I am hoping that you're going to stay as one of our circuit judges
for a long time. I appreciate
because
that.
You depict everything that I like in a judge. I mean, you're fair all the way down the line. You care about your decisions that you make. Just like I said earlier, we've got the penal part, we've got the heart part, and you have both of them. You're able to make those tough decisions, but you're also able to disseminate what's going on inside. You look at the whole picture, and you're fair all the way down the line. And I love having you on because I consider you a good friend, and I appreciate all what you do for all of us.
Truman, thank you so much, and thank you for the work you're doing in our community. It's very beneficial.
This is not work. This is a hobby. This is fun. Well, when you retire, I recommend this show.
Well, I think you take it too lightly. Most of us out here in the world can't handle radio programs like you do, and you do such a great job. Thank you for letting me be here.
I'm not very smart. We'll see you guys tomorrow, and we'll have one of the Cannon Canyon guys on tomorrow. We'll have John Whittemore from, I guess, Short Mountain would be the way to speak, the Short Mountain Distillery. And he's going to be talking about a special event coming up in Cannon County. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock.